Let's hear God's word read to us now from Matthew chapter 1, not from verse 1, but from verse 18 to the end of the chapter.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
Our second reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 21, reading from verse 1 through to 13. I'll be covering the whole chapter this morning during my sermon, and so you will hear the remaining verses later on. Let's hear God's word as Wayne reads to us from Genesis chapter 21, reading from verse 1.
The Lord visited Sarah and as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named, and I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
O Lord our God, majestic creator, glorious saviour and ever wise teacher, your word is before us, and we pray that you will teach us not just the facts, but of your wisdom, love, glory, and truth. Remind us of your faithfulness and truth, your promises for all generations, and how we are loved with an everlasting love. Guide our words that I might faithfully proclaim your word. O Lord, inspire our hearts to love and serve you in faithfulness and truth. for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been going through this book of Genesis, we've read of the promise for a son to be born to Abraham back in chapter 12. A quarter of a century has passed by, and now we finally can say the promise is fulfilled. Although, perhaps the promise looks further afield to another son. In Genesis chapter 12, we read, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Then in Genesis 15, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to him," that is to Abraham, "'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.'" So we saw how Abraham and Sarah took things into their own hands, and Ishmael was born to Sarah's Egyptian maidservant, Hagar. Yet the Lord said in Genesis 17, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." Then you might remember also that the Lord visited Sarah and told her that she would bear a son, and he was to be named Isaac. All of these promises kept pointing us to a son of Abraham and being born to Sarah, his wife. And so, in so many ways, it is not surprising when we read in Genesis chapter 21, from verse 1, "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." Now, the fact that Abraham and Sarah are referred to as old suggests that this pregnancy was totally unexpected at such an age. But the words of these verses from Genesis 21 show us that the pregnancy was totally of the sovereign work of God within her. The Lord visited Sarah. The Lord did to Sarah as he had promised, and of the time of which God had spoken to him, that is to Abraham. In other words, God keeps his word. It not only stresses that the Lord gave her a son, but that he gave her a son just when he said he was going to. God's words were fulfilled in the actions that he did on Sarah and Abraham's behalf. And thus we see that God's word is reality, because God's word brings reality into being. We've seen this in Genesis chapter 1 as God spoke and the things of creation came into being with order and interconnection. We saw it in Genesis chapter 6 to 8 where God promised a flood to bring judgment against the wickedness of mankind, and only 8 people in all were rescued, along with a sample of the animals of the world. And now we see it with the birth of Isaac, born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Abraham, 100, Sarah, 90. But then verse 8 of our passage tells us that the child grew. And to mark the occasion of Isaac's weaning, Abraham made a great feast. This was an important day because, well, see what happened in verses 9 to 14. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Sarah saw Ishmael laughing, or as some translations put it, mocking Isaac on the day he was weaned. Now, although God had already told Abraham that his covenant promises would be born through Isaac, it still grieved him to remove Ishmael from his home and family. Sarah's demand to cast out this slave woman and her son away from inheritance may have been a little unfair to him, the firstborn to Abraham. And these are the kinds of problems that come with unfaithful actions. Yet it was the Lord's purposes to remove Ishmael from the home and inheritance. That soul placement belonged to Isaac, the son of Sarah. Even though Ishmael was not the one through whom God's covenant promises were to be fulfilled, however, the Lord was still going to protect, nurture, and watch over Ishmael because he was the son of Abraham. This reminds us that the Lord our God is good and shows kindness and grace even to the unbeliever. In chapter 17, we were told that the Lord would bless him, make him fruitful, and make him into a mighty nation. Have a look at how God showed his grace and kindness to Ishmael and to Hagar in this time, immediately after he and Hagar were expelled from Abraham's home, from verse 15 onwards. Let me read it to you. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. And when she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of a child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted him up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Is God kind to the unbeliever? The fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham with the birth and development of Isaac was a miracle in and of itself. The impossible happened with Sarah bearing Isaac in her old age. Yet the promise in Genesis chapter 12 points to all the nations of the earth being blessed through Abraham. As we look at the life of Isaac, we don't really see great blessings to the nations, do we? As the generations develop, we see the family develop into a nation. That's the first part of God's blessing to Abraham. But the nation which came through Isaac hardly set the world on fire with blessing and righteous living. Then in Matthew chapter 1, we read, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So God is pointing back to the promise of Abraham, back to David and to Abraham, in fact. And so it is not until we come to Jesus, the Messiah, that we see blessings begin to flow to the nations. He is the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the reality of all God's promises to the nations. Jesus became a man to bring a touch of God to us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life and life in all of its fullness. Jesus' birth was extraordinary also. Matthew tells us, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was told, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will serve his people from their sins. Save his people from their sins. It is because Jesus saves people from their sins that blessings flow to the nations, that righteousness flows out to the nations. Through faith in Christ Jesus, there is peace, there is relationship, not hostility, with God. There is forgiveness of sins and an inheritance as God's children, co-heirs with Jesus. Jesus lived a sinless life, fulfilling all righteousness and keeping faithfulness with God. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He died so that you and I might have forgiveness of our sins and be made suitable for living in eternity with God. And as we trust in Jesus as our Savior, forgiving our sins and thus giving us peace with God and making us qualified as children of God, then God marks us with his Holy Spirit to make us and shape us and conform us to the likeness of Jesus. Our lives are changed as the Spirit of God gives us new life, making us into a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old order of things is gone. The new is come. The Spirit of God produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in the life that is submitted to trust in Jesus. Is there anything that would be greater for this world to inherit than these things? They only come as a result of the truth of Christ Jesus being fulfilled and lived in through faith. And yet the world resists because it requires dying to ourselves and submitting to Christ Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised great blessing would come to the nations through Abraham. That covenant promise began through the birth of Isaac, born to Sarah. Yet the greater son to be born was Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Saviour. We thank you for the promise of hope and life in him. We hold on to that promise with faith so divine and are thankful. Enable us to see the greater blessings of promise through Jesus and trust in him for all of our days. Renew our minds by the power of your word, by your Holy Spirit. For we look forward to seeing your promises fulfilled in all their fullness in heaven, even as we trust you now. We trust in Jesus and look to follow him in faith and with great integrity. For we pray this in Jesus' name.